Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known. From you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness and mercifully give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not and for our blindness we cannot ask. Through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat by the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. And he said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourself. And after that, you may pass on since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while he ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife, Sarah, shall have a son." The word of the Lord.
Take back his word. He
reading from the letter to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, in the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus, Lord.
Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need only for one thing. Mary has chosen the better part. It will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord. Jesus entered a certain village. There was a woman there named Martha. She welcomed him into her home. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have a prophetic friend. His name is Alan. He's a hairdresser. I've known him. We were bartenders together. Going from bartending, you have, as a career choice, one of two choices. It's hairdressing or priesthood. But we have a third friend who's an attorney, so we feel like we have a joke going. We just don't know what it is. A priest, a hairdresser, and an attorney. So my prophetic friend Alan, the hairdresser, when Simon was getting ready to be born, he pulled me aside. We were having lunch together, and he said, "Robert, now Alan is a father. He's been a father for 11 years. And a single father at that." He said, "Robert, having a baby is like winning the lottery and losing your leg all in the same day." Truth. Truth. Just truth. I don't know if I would put it in those stark terms quite like that, but I would say that having a child turns your life upside down in all the good ways and all the difficult ways, right? Just yesterday, Simon decided that he wanted to start climbing stairs. Terrifying. It's wonderful, right? He's like independent and doing his own thing, and he could fall to his death. And then that would be my fault, right? Oh, man. So this is like our world gets turned upside down. And if you think about it, this is the truth of our lives as we move through and in and out of the blessings, the joys, but also the setbacks and the disappointments. That what happens is God moves into those moments and turns our lives upside down. And the reason that we built this church and come here every Sunday is that we learn in this practice of being faithful Christians together how to recognize together in love and unity and peace and connectedness to each other and to God. We learn to recognize and to celebrate, to honor, and to wonder about and to trust that God will come into these moments in our lives, and we can depend on that. That as we move into these difficult disappointments, when we move into these blessings and joys where things in our lives are turned upside down, God will move into that. And there is no greater testament to that truth than the physical, incarnated reality of Jesus Christ, the person Jesus Christ, the human being, moving into that experience with us, feeling those things, experiencing those things with us, going through those things with us, celebrating, crying, weeping, lamenting, but also rejoicing with us physically in this experience that we call humanity, right? That this is what God does. It's the divine task for God to move into this experience with us. And when God does that, we are called into our own reckoning and trusting that God will do that, and we got to figure out how to love properly through these moments, right? And Luke's gospel is all about this. So I had a professor in seminary who wisely taught me, and I think this is a brilliant metaphor. It's not mine. I can't take credit for it, but I'm gonna use it here. So when we're studying the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that are canonized in the New Testament, this professor said, if you think about the gospels this way, that
the authors of these, the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, whoever they were, they had in front of them a series of stories about this extraordinary life, death, and resurrection, right? And they took those stories and they, like a bead necklace, they took the stories as little pieces of beads, and they compiled those stories in such a way that told a story about Jesus that most informed their own life in the context of their community, right? And Luke is no different. So what Luke has done is he's taken the story of Jesus and he's taken the Jesus stories and he's giving us a story about a Savior who is on the move, on a journey, inviting us on that journey too, in which in the midst of the journey of the discipleship journey, we learn who and what Christ is in the world and our proper response, right? So he begins in chapter 4, way back in chapter 4, by having this story about going into the synagogue in Nazareth. You remember this, and he gets up and he reads the scroll from Isaiah. Do y'all remember this story? And he's in his hometown there, and he says, he gets up, he reads the scroll Jesus does, and he says, in the scroll, the reading is about the Messiah, and Jesus says, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing, and everybody's angry about it. And Mark, he says, a prophet is not without honor in his own home, which I think has become an adage that we use in the 21st century. But in Luke, they try to kill him. they take him out and they take him to a cliff, and he sort of just walks in the midst of them. And from that moment forward, what Luke is telling us by putting that story, so Mark puts it in the middle of his gospel, Matthew puts it towards the end. By Luke setting that up at the very beginning, Luke reminds us that Jesus is a nomad. He is on the move. He's going from place to place, and we are invited to follow and to learn and to see from place to place. And of course, if you're going to have a nomadic ministry, hospitality is part of that. So three or four Sundays ago, don't quote me. It's one or the other. It's either three or four Sundays ago. We read the story about the 70, right? Jesus sent the 70 out, and he said, go out and stay in one place and receive the hospitality, eat what is put before you, right? And then Jesus tells the story about the Good Shepherd just last Sunday. Jesus tells the story about the Good Samaritan, in which the question becomes, who is our neighbor? Who is a good neighbor? Who provides hospitality? And in that same chapter, and Luke presents us with this story today of Jesus walking into the hospitality of Mary and Martha, right? And the story comes to us, I bet a lot of you, raise your hand if you're kind of familiar with this story of Mary and Martha, right? Keep your hands up if you're a little bit troubled by it. Yeah. Like raise your hand if you're like, I'm a Martha. Does everybody know what I mean when I say I'm a Martha? Like somebody who is on task, who's doing the stuff that needs to be done, right? That's who Martha is. And so this story comes to us, and it's problematic in terms of its interpretation, right? And so we are then asked to enter into a conversation with this text. We are asked to enter into a conversation with what is going on here. What is Luke trying to tell us in the experience of Jesus, right? And what we have is a story about Martha invites Jesus into her home. And Mary, we know from another gospel, is Martha's younger sister, who is taking residence in this home in the village of Bethany. And it would be customary for Mary to, as a woman who lives in this house, her hospitable role is to tend to the needs of the guest. Right? It's a gendered story. I'm just going to say it's a gendered story. And so what interpreters like to do with the story is take it and say, oh no, Jesus was talking about the human condition, which is true, but Luke is getting to this story about the human condition through the experience of women in the first century, which is to say that it would have been expected for Mary to behave in one way, and Mary behaves in another way. And by behaving in that other way, she is turning the expectations upside down. And this is Luke's goal, is to take our expectations about who Jesus is and what Jesus is and what the Messiah is and what power is and authority is and how love functions in the world, and to turn those things upside down. So how do we do that with a nomadic Jesus? It does not help that one of our most basic chief initial knee-jerk reactions to holy experiences is to build a shrine
to house that experience, right? And that is a beautiful and holy thing. That's what we have. We have a shrine to host these experiences. And it can be a very wonderful thing. It can also be a thing that distracts us from what God is doing on the move in the world around us.
Let me give you an example. So when I first started doing the priesthood thing, I was invited by a good friend of mine to participate in a ministry called Southside Abbey, which Lloyd still does. Southside Abbey, which is now housed at St. Paul's, but at the time was housed at the Hart Gallery, which is an art gallery. And the reason for that was when they decided they wanted to form this worshiping community, they wanted to have a place that wasn't in the walls of the church, right? They wanted to be on the move, out in the world. And so I didn't get it. And I was invited to participate in this ministry. And so I would show up on Friday nights. And it was an uncomfortable experience. And the reason that it was an uncomfortable experience is because I look out at all of you, and you're all looking at me, and you're all listening. And when we do communion, you all participate in that. You all will do beautiful music. Everybody is doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. At Southside Abbey, nobody was doing the things that they were supposed to be doing. This guy over here was on his phone. These two people were talking. These guys were like stuffing food into their pockets. It was like, it's a weird experience. This is church, you all. Do you not know how to behave in this place? But that was the whole point, was to bring people together and have an authentic experience in which the gospel is shared, peace is shared, the meal is shared in the context of people's real lived experiences in the world. That was the whole point, and I just missed it. And so my gracious friend Bob, who was leading that ministry, Bob Leopold Priest, he asked me to from time to time, to step into the role of priest in this. And so I'm like, I'm going to be a Martha here. I'm going to bring some semblance of order to this thing. We are going to have, you know, the proper vessels and everything. And I remember the first time I did this, there was no bread, and so I had to bless pizza crust and give it to people as communion. Oh my gosh.
I was like, God, please don't let any of my seminary professors see me now. So, over and over again, I was invited to do this. Every time I walked in there, I felt like I was doing something wrong, or I wasn't quite right, or things weren't ready. I remember I always had to scramble because they would store everything in the back, and they never put anything back. Like, here we have Jane, who like puts everything back in that room. Jane and Marcy, they put everything in that room where it's supposed to go, right? So we know where the holy stuff is. We bring the holy stuff out. It's a good thing. This is a wonderful thing. It helps us to celebrate and to honor and to remember with holiness. But at Southside Abbey, they would just throw that stuff back there. So I was like finding the chalice, finding a plate, finding this, you know, the wine. I was the Bible, the cross, putting all this stuff together. And it was like a mad dash. And they started at 6:15. Who starts at 6:15? Well, just say 6 o'clock. Who does 11:15 in the morning? Who does this? Just say on the hour, right? But this is how it was. And so I remember one day, I was looking for all this stuff. I was really scrambled. I was distracted. I couldn't find all the stuff I needed to find. It was like 6:13 and 20 seconds. We were going to start at 6:15. And so so this guy who's a part of the community, Bill, who was known as Wild Bill. And if you'd met Bill, you knew why it was called Wild Bill. You just never knew what you were going to get, right? And so Bill came up to me, and he needed to tell me a story. He needed to talk to me. And he was excited about something that he wanted to share with me. But it was 6:13 and a half. I didn't know where the chalice was. And we needed to start this holy experience. And so I said, Bill, I can't talk to you right now. Let's talk after the service. That's what I said to Bill. That's what I did in that moment. Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. And when Jesus says, Mary has chosen the essential thing, is the Greek. Mary has chosen the essential thing. What Jesus is saying is that the Messiah is nomadic in our lives. It moves in and out of our experience through a conversation, through a breakfast,
through a hardship, through an argument with a good friend, through something that makes us deeply uncomfortable, through a casserole that you bring somebody who is sick, and then the conversation that happens after that. These are the moments that Christ shows up. And if we're not careful, if we're too busy and distracted and preoccupied, we'll miss it. And if we miss it, we don't learn how to trust that in the moments when we may need it the most, when we're not sure about what's going to happen next, if we're going to have enough, if we're going to be able to recover, if the relationship is going to be reconciled, if the job is going to be gained, if the promotion is going to happen, if we're going to have enough money, if we're going to have enough stuff, if the relative that we love is going to get their act together and do the right thing. In those moments, we need to trust, to know, because we've experienced that Christ somehow, some way, is going to break into those experiences in our lives. And this is what the journey with Luke is all about, is to learn how to trust that. Wild Bill and I never got to connect that night. I looked for him after the service, couldn't find him anywhere. He had left early, and the reason that he had left early was because he had found a new place to sleep, which Bill was a person who slept outside. Bill was also a person that, if you paid attention, usually slipping out of his jacket pocket was a bottle or something, right? This was one of the things that Bill struggled with. And he had found a place to sleep, and the place was in an underpass of Highway 27, up at the top of the ramp. And because of an injury that he had sustained in Vietnam, Bill was unable to traverse that huge hill, that embankment, that is right under the underpass there. And so the way that he would navigate that was to walk up and cross 27. And that night he was struck and killed, trying to find his home. Bill wanted to share with me in a moment, and I missed it because I was distracted by the many, many things, right? Having a church, having a building, having a place to worship, having a Bible and scripture with static words that seem unchangeable, these things are holy and good in many ways. They are. But they should not distract us or confuse us about the fact that God is a dynamic God, that God is on the move in our lives, that comes into us in ways that are not expected, right? And that if we get too distracted with maintaining and holding the conventions of our time and the conventions of what we hold to be dear, we might just miss what the Messiah is up to. A little bit later, this congregation will have a conversation about what is next. In that process, we will honor together and continue to honor all the holy and beautiful and wonderful things that have happened in this room. The baptisms, the marriages, the laying on of hands of healing, the communion, the countless pieces of the body of Christ that have been shared, the hugs that have been exchanged over the peace, the music that has risen from these halls to the very heart and mind of God, right? These things are invaluable and lovely and holy and will never be forgotten. And God is a God that's on the move. Jesus is on the move. And then Jesus is calling us to host him, to be like Mary, to not necessarily allow what we are supposed to do to stop us from doing what is essential to do, which is to sit at the foot of Jesus. Amen.
invite you to stand or to kneel as we pray for the church and for the Lord.
We pray for all people. Prayers are welcome. We pray for the nations of the world and for our leaders. We pray for justice and for peace. We pray for communities of faith, especially for this community. We pray for those in need, troubled, or poor health. And we pray especially for Jim,
J.R. and Gordon, Pat, Gail, Priscilla, Greg, Cindy, Joycey, Kelly, Barry, Pete, Chad, Xavier, Becky, Alexander, Terry, Dale, Peter, Marianne, Kelly, Holly, John and Janice, Nicole, family Leanne Hampton, Paula, Margaret, Jacqueline, John, and Jane, Zach, Steve, Richard, Richard, Bonnie, Amy, Lori, Cheryl, the Valley family, Christina, Cheryl, Jimmy and Dale, Randy and Eddie, Woody, Lane, Luke,
Bob, my sister Judy, and there are others. We pray for those who have died. We pray with thankful hearts for the many gifts and blessings of life. We especially give thanks for the work of those who beautify and care for the grounds and building of St. Thaddeus, the cleaning from room to room, the watering of plants and flowers, the trimming of grass, weeds, and brush, and the meetings with service providers all provide for a beautiful and holy place to worship.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people. Strengthen us to do your will. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have mercy on us and forgive us,
that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name.
Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Just a couple of things to share. After the service today, we will host a parish forum together. which will include chicken and pie, which will be the main events next to the Holy Spirit. So it goes Holy Spirit, chicken and pie, and then whatever we have to say. Those are the priorities of the meeting, right? So we welcome you, everyone here. There'll be plenty of food. Ask that you move to the parish hall and go ahead and grab your plate and even begin eating, and we will pray for it retroactively. So it will be blessed. So go ahead and move from this service to the parish hall and grab some food, and then we'll get started shortly after that. I just want to say with deep pleasure that this family, who I have not met until this morning, is here in our midst. And you haven't been here in how long?
Well, I've been like 8 years
ago. 8 years ago.
But I don't think Chilton has been here about 8 years. Emily was a baby last
time. And it's not because you hate us. You moved to Arizona.
Yeah.
And I think 12 people have walked up to me and said, do you know this family story? So it's just a blessing and a joy for everybody. So, Doug, you suffered a brainstem stroke and recovered from that miraculously. And in that recovery, blessed this entire congregation. Everybody saw God at work in that. Is that fair? So, thank you for coming and making... It's a 10% survival rate. Wow. God bless. Thank you for being here this morning. It is a blessing to us. Thank you. Walk in love as Christ loved us, gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
Trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. the gifts of God. For you, the people of God, come taste and see that God is good. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. In the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Okay, we're going to add the alleluias to this. Alleluia, alleluia, go forth into the world to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia. I should just put them right back in the bulletin. I don't know why I put them there.